From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears here with Dominic Bachaco. We are a part of the Arizona Daily Star, and about every month or so, we come out to Frog and Firkin right here on University Boulevard, and we just record a live podcast. We talk all things Arizona athletics. So we thank all the folks at Frog and Firkin for allowing us to record this podcast. Again, if you have yet to download the Wildcaster app, I highly suggest that you do so. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. You get it for free. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, download the Wildcaster app. You get all things about your Arizona Wildcats, all the latest podcasts, news stories, photo galleries, video galleries, exclusive in-depth coverage of your Arizona Wildcats all at your fingertips. Again, that is the Wildcaster app. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. So like I said, we're here at Frog and Firkin recording a live podcast. We got a lot to get into. We're going to talk some Arizona softball. We're going to talk some Arizona baseball. We're going to talk some Arizona football. We also have an interview with current Arizona football head coach Kevin Sumlin that will be played later on during the podcast. So if you want to hear what Coach Sumlin has to say, stick around with us. We'll be playing that towards the end. And once again, huge thanks to all the folks at Frog and Firkin for allowing us to use this space to record a live podcast. Dominic Bachaco, what's going on, my man?
Not too much. Good to be back here. It's been a little bit.
It's kind of quiet around these parts.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
Summer.
Summer in Tucson. Post-graduation?
Mm-hmm.
It's 'cause graduation was last week. And now people are all away, whether they're done with school forever, whether they're done with college forever, or they're just simply away for the summer. But it's pretty quiet around these parts.
I guess I shouldn't say it's summer yet because the weather's still really nice.
Yeah.
It's not deathly hot outside yet, but summer meaning nobody's in Tucson anymore.
Summer hours, which means university is pretty damn quiet. Don, before we get into Arizona softball talk about them making the NCAA tournament for the 33rd consecutive time. That is a school record. Or not a school record, an NCAA record. Mm-hmm. Arizona softball kicking butt right now. But before we get into that, it all comes down to one last Wildcat. There is one last Wildcat in the NBA playoffs.
Isn't there always?
And that is Andre Iguodala representing the Golden State Warriors. Now, that's just player-wise. I mean, there's still Arizona Wildcats eyes. Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Bruce Frazier is also an assistant coach. I know you're a Golden State Warriors fan, Dom. Do they get it done? Is Iggy representing the Wildcats once again in the NBA Finals?
It's tough to say. If you're a betting man, yes. I think you have to say yes. But without Kevin Durant, it's going to be difficult. We don't know how long he's going to be out. Portland's hot. Personally, as a Golden State Warriors fan, I was hoping the Nuggets would pull it out because I think they're a lot less potent. I think Portland, and maybe this is giving them too much credit, I think they're a better version of the Houston Rockets. I think they shoot the three ball, and when they're shooting it well, they're really tough to beat. I just think they shoot the three well more often than Houston does. Mm. And when they get going, they're tough to beat with guys like Dame and CJ McCollum. So I think they're more dangerous. They pose a bigger threat to than perhaps the Warriors have seen in a few years. But again, if you're betting, you got to take the Warriors.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point saying that they're a better version of the Houston Rockets. I thought not that. Mm-hmm. Thoughts. I didn't think that, but I was thinking more along the lines of this is another elite backcourt. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Paul, James Harden, that was a great backcourt, and they were healthy, and, I mean, they brought it. I mean, CP3 was kind of quiet during some games, but James Harden brought it. And without Kevin Durant in this series, I think you got to look at Golden State as not a first-shire, how do we explain? They're not going to be a favorite, or they are a favorite. They are favored to win it.
Don't call them an underdog.
They're not an underdog. No. I'm not calling them an underdog by any means. But I'm willing to give Portland two games.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, and look, if you think the Houston Rockets are a better team than the Blazers, which I think a lot of people might say that, the Rockets only went six, and it was without Kevin Durant. The Warriors were able to get rid of him. So,
and when does KD come back? That's the thing.
This is the kicker, though. With or without KD, in the last 28 games without Kevin Durant has not played, and that Steph Curry has played for the Warriors are 27-1. So don't forget that without Kevin Durant, they're still probably the best team in the NBA. Definitely a different dynamic. They're again, not an overwhelming favorite like they are with Kevin Durant, but they're still pretty darn good.
Iggy going to make a career high in three-pointers once again? Like in that game six?
I think he's on pace to shatter his record for most three-pointers made in a playoffs, in like an overall playoff series. Playoff run, excuse me. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Andre Iguodala?
Yes, he is a Hall of Famer. Not first ballot.
Never been an All-NBA. Went to one All-Star game. Definitely not first ballot.
No.
Definitely not first ballot. He's on pace.
Here's the thing. If Andre Iguodala is a Hall of Famer, so is Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer.
Well, I think for different reasons, though. I think Andre Iguodala, you can make a case because of what he's done in the playoffs. With 18 more three-pointers, Iguodala joins LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Paul Pierce as the only players in NBA history to have 12,000 points, 5,000 rebounds, 4,500 assists, 1,500 steals, 500 blocks, and 1,000 three-pointers. That's pretty elite company. But, again, I think he gets in because of what he's done in the playoffs. He's won a Finals MVP, the Warriors' first one, from 2015. And I think because of what he's meant to this team in the postseason, I think that what warrants another look at Andre Iguodala. Mm-hmm. Maybe Dwight Howard's a Hall of Famer, but for different reasons.
Is Carmelo Anthony a Hall of Famer? we're going off on tangents
reasons,
right
for different reasons if he is.
But, Don, we're here talking Arizona Wildcats sports. Arizona softball, they are the number six seed in the NCAA tournament. They will be hosting the regional and probably the super regional for yet another season. They're going to be playing Harvard. But they're probably going to escape this weekend with a win, with a regional win. They're probably going to host a super regional.
They should. I mean, it's again, they've been one of the best teams in the league all year. They've beaten impressive teams in the Pac-12. And again, I think that's, you say this every year about Arizona softball, is because of their schedule that's going to help them in the postseason. In the last few years, it hasn't worked out. You remember that crushing loss to Baylor with Daniel O'Toole, and when they were probably the favorite to win the whole thing. And I think they're in a similar position this year. I think a lot of people expect them to make a deep run. They're the number six overall national seed. And, definitely they should get out of the regional, and a super regional is going to be interesting, but Planet Hillenbrand is going to be a big advantage, especially with the renovations that they've made this year. It's going to be loud out there.
And, you know, Arizona, while they did stumble towards the end of the season, getting swept by Washington, they still crossed the finish line with some confidence because they went and won the series against UCLA. Mm-hmm. And UCLA is a team that you could probably see in Oklahoma City at the end of the season.
Absolutely. And I think they're on Arizona's side of the draw, too. So that's a team Arizona would have to beat. Just took two out of three. Again, UCLA was ranked number three. I don't know what national seed they got off the top of my head. It's going to be better than Arizona.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, UCLA is a tough team. Washington's a tough team who swept the Wildcats at Hillenbrand last week. So, look, Arizona's always susceptible this time of year to, I don't know how to put it, because like I said, the last few years they've been heavy favorites playing at Hillenbrand in regionals and super regionals, and they haven't gotten the job done. This is a team that is probably the most successful on campus with a lot of successful programs.
Yeah.
But they haven't been to a College World Series final since 2010. They haven't won a College World Series.
10 or 7?
They haven't won since 2007.
Seven.
Maybe they didn't go to the final in 10. I know they were in the World Series in 2010.
Okay, so they did go in 2010.
Went to the College World Series in 2010. Okay. They haven't won it since 07. So that's going on, what, 12, 13 years now that they haven't won it? So they haven't been able to get the job done. But anytime you have Mike Kindrea,
the GOAT,
in the dugout, I mean, you're going to be a factor. And again, the road goes through Tucson, so I think that's an advantage that you can't overlook.
So Arizona, they'll be playing Harvard for the game one. That's on Friday. First pitch is at 8:30 p.m. That's a late one at Rita Hillenbrand Stadium. So make sure you get your coffee, make sure you energize for that game. And they'll be playing the winner of Auburn versus Colorado State. Well, they got to beat Auburn or beat Harvard first. And then, of course, the schedule varies after that. But they could be, if they do beat Harvard, they're probably going to be playing that Saturday at 3 p.m. So mark this down on your calendars because they're probably going to beat Harvard. I'm just going to go ahead and say I think it's safe to say that they're going to beat Harvard.
If they lose to Harvard now, you know where to find this man, Justin Spears.
On Twitter, at Justin Esports. So, Dom, since we're already talking about spring sports, let's shift gears over into the baseball side of things. Mm-hmm. Arizona baseball has won 7 out of the last 8 games. Can they make the NCAA tournament? This sounds like a stretch, Don, because we talked to Jay Johnson, and by we, I mean Michael Lev talked to Jay Johnson, and the Arizona head coach was already talking to his freshmen and sophomores about those guys being the class that really carries the torch for the future years. So, I mean, if Jay Johnson's talking about next year, is it safe to say that there's no way that Arizona makes the NCAA tournament?
I think there's no way, and I'll tell you why.
You can pull up the RPI, aren't you?
No, they're what are they in RPI? 56th, which they're trending up. But look, they got swept by. These are just ranked teams they've played this year. And again, maybe it's unfair because Arizona's not really close to these teams, and the Pac-12's tough. All games are competitive, but just against ranked opponents. Swept by UCLA, swept by ASU, swept by Oregon State, lost 2 out of 3 to Stanford, and lost a 1-off to Arizona State a couple weeks ago. That's not an impressive resume for a team that has been around 500 all year. If they had won some of those games, if they'd taken 2 out of 3 from a couple ranked teams, then maybe those were some attractive wins. But there's nothing really appealing about this team. They score a lot. That's pretty much the only good thing you can say you've been able to say consistently all season. In their last, I want to say, 8 losses or so, they've given up an average of 12 runs. And again, granted, that's to a lot of good ranked, good competition in the Pac-12. But it don't matter how much you can score if you're giving up that many runs. And there's just not that much appeal to this team this year. Again, they could finish strong. They've won 7 out of 8, like you said. But again, that's against Oregon. That's against USC and Sam Houston State. Oregon, USC among the bottom of the Pac-12. And coming up, they play Washington State 3 games on the road to end the year. So, and again, Washington State, bottom of the Pac-12. Yeah, exactly. So, again, these are games that Arizona Wildcats should be winning. They're giving themselves a chance, but it's an outside chance and a long one at that.
I feel bad for, you know, Jay Johnson. I think that he's kind of gotten a little bit of a bad rap just because it's year 3 for him, and now he's about to go on, what, the second consecutive year? Is it year 3 or year 4?
It's got to be at least that, because the first two, he went to the College World Series, didn't he?
Just the first year, okay, he went to the College World Series.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was the final. That's when they lost to, who'd they lose to?
Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers, that's the mascot.
Jay Johnson is one of the best baseball coaches you're going to get in college, and he's... It's tough to... I mean, look what he did with that first team. I mean...
Those are Andy Lopez kids, and that's just it, man. You got to be a proven winner, and this is why I feel bad for bringing this up. But towards the tail end of the Rich Rodriguez era, remember how everybody was like, "Oh man, he's consistently getting Arizona to bowl games. Look at them; they went to the Fiesta Bowl." But his marquee players were all Mike Stoops guys, and then once the whole recruiting cycle happened, Arizona kind of tapered off, and that's just it. Is, you know, in college baseball, I feel like it's more difficult to win in college baseball than it is college football.
It's such a long season, too. And the big difference between Arizona football and Arizona baseball is that if you get the Arizona Wildcats to a bowl game consistently, if you go 7-5, 8-4, whatever it is, if you go 6-6 every single year at Arizona as an Arizona football coach and make a bowl game every single year, fans should be happy with that. don't have expectations. I know everyone wants to go to a Rose Bowl. That's always the standard of the Pac-12. That's what every team's going for. It's not realistic for Arizona. It'll happen one day. I know Kevin Sumlin's made it a goal of his, but look, that's not the standard. If you go to a bowl game as an Arizona football coach, that's a success. In Arizona baseball, I think the standard's a little bit higher. People expect a little bit more out of you as one of the better programs and more consistent programs on campus. People have higher standards, and you're absolutely right. It is harder, I think, to win in college baseball because it's such a long season, because you have so many opportunities.
Pac-12, too.
The Pac-12 is tough, and that's not to say they're not in football, but
yeah.
I think the standard is higher for baseball, at least among Tucson fans, Arizona baseball. I mean, just Arizona Wildcats fans in general, I think. They expect more out of Arizona baseball every year. And maybe you bring up the Jay Johnson discussion. Maybe that's been less the case over the last few years. I think people are a lot less educated about Arizona baseball. So it's maybe they just go into it thinking, oh, they're going to be really bad or really good this year without that much information to back it up. But they weren't expected to contend for College World Series this year. They haven't for the last couple of years. But Jay Johnson has them competitive, and again, I know 500 doesn't sound competitive, but they score a lot of runs.
Yeah, they do. They beat Oregon 28-7.
Right. So
that's not a football score either.
So I don't know. It's not like they're getting blown out every single game of the year. It's not like they're they're in the bottom half of the Pac-12, but it's not like they're so far behind that they can't catch up. I think with a couple of tweaks to the coaching staff, you bring in some arms, and you kind of focus your recruiting efforts and all of your developmental efforts on pitching over the next few years. You got to trust Jay Johnson to get the job done on offense. So they know what to focus on. Mm-hmm. And then if Jay Johnson can't get it done, then maybe you start asking questions. But I think he's one of the best in business right now.
Yes, absolutely. And Robbie Mandel, I mean, he was on the podcast last week. Wish he was on today because he could echo all of this. I think Jay Johnson is one of the best coaches, not only in the Pac-12, but in terms of West Coast programs. Look at what Jay Johnson did in Nevada. You know, I mean, look what Jay Johnson did at all of his previous stops. He's always been a winner. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you get him a couple more years to get in some pitching prospects. And Dom, another thing that we kind of didn't talk about is he actually had decent pitching prospects coming in for the recruiting class, but they all decided to go play Major League Baseball because you get drafted and you're like, well, what am I going to do?
They had a really good recruiting class. Maybe if all those guys come here, maybe they are competing for a college World Series.
Yes.
But that's not the case. That's another difference in college baseball is your best prospects probably aren't going to come to school.
Yeah. Baseball, man. Baseball.
Well, it's a fun time of year. You know, at the very we got so many sports going on right now between NBA playoffs, between if you're a hockey fan, you got NHL playoffs going on right now that are in the conference finals. You have Arizona baseball wrapping up. You have Arizona softball that's hosting regionals this weekend. There's a lot going on. It's an exciting time of year.
I think my favorite part of this entire podcast, and people that are listening to it can't see it, but every single time we look up, it's either Zion Williamson on the screen, and now they have Murray State. John Morant is on the screen.
Phoenix Suns.
It's the NBA draft time. So they're showing off all the prospects on ESPN right now. But, Dom, before we get Kevin Sumlin on the show, and I'm really excited to get him on the podcast, I think we need to talk about, since we only have a couple minutes left here, just the importance of U of A legend Dick Tomey. The Arizona all-time winningest head coach in Arizona history. When you talk about the faces of the program, you got to put Dick Tomey at the top. And Coach Tomey, after a five-month battle with lung cancer, he passed away at the age of 80. And to really show what kind of person Dick Tomey was, look at just the response after the news got out that he passed away. It wasn't just the Arizona community, but it was the entire college football community.
Yes.
And that's what really, not surprised me, but really wowed me. To see guys like Mack Brown, and I know they coached together at Texas, but to see Brian Arakpo, Mack Brown, the entire college football community come out and mourn the loss of a guy like Dick Tomey, it was just really incredible. And, you know, talking to the players over the past week and talking to Brandon Sanders, talking to Kelvin Hunter, talking to Kelvin Efon, my former offensive line coach, Mark Fontana, who played under Dick Tomey, you know, to hear them all pretty much say the same thing. He's going to coach you. And, man, we lost, according to some of the guys, they said, we lost games and on the road, and when we came back, we went straight to the field and started conditioning. You know, this is in the early hours of the AM.
Yeah.
But he was also going to let you know that he loved you more than anything else. And I think that's the kind of guy Dick Tomey was, and an absolute legend, and he'll definitely be missed, not only in the Tucson community, but the college football community.
And that's exactly the point I was going to make. It's not just Tucson. I mean, Dick Tomey's reach extended far beyond Tucson, far off the football field, and a lot of people who reach, a lot of people who commented on Twitter, some of the, you know, like Mack Brown and people outside of Tucson, talked about him as a person. I mean, people were talking about Dick Tomey, didn't even mention him as a football coach. His reach is just, you can't say enough about it, and it's tough to put into words because he touched so many people in so many different ways off the football field and made that impact just as a coach of a football team, you know? I mean, this guy, it's just tough to say what he meant to Tucson, what he meant to college football, and so much more beyond sports itself. It's pretty special.
And, you know, Dick Tomey put Arizona football on the map.
On the map, yeah.
Remember, there's a movie called Speed. I don't know if you've seen it. It's got Keanu Reeves in it. It's got Sandra Bullock in it.
Oh, I know.
Sandra Bullock was wearing like a jacket or sweatpants that said Arizona football on it. And Keanu Reeves looked at her and said, Arizona.
It's the one on the bus, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Arizona Wildcats. Good football team. This is in the 90s. You know, when you think of Arizona sports, you think of Lute Olson, you think of U of A basketball. No, in movies, they were saying, oh, Arizona Wildcats, good football team. That was all because of Dick Tomey. And that was what he brought to Arizona.
And who says that nowadays? Arizona Wildcats, good football team.
Nobody.
Know? I mean, it's just Dick Tomey. The reach this guy had is incredible. And it's been really cool seeing everyone come out and support coach. And it's just a special thing. I mean, you don't see it often. And again, you don't want to see it.
Yes.
Just an absolute legend. Class act on and off the field again. I mean, he's the epitome of what you want in a football coach and a human being. And,
absolutely.
Nothing but thoughts and prayers up to Dick Tomey and his family.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get Arizona football head coach Kevin Sumlin on the podcast. Coach Sumlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. And I know this is a troubling time for the Arizona community and college football community. Coach Dick Tomey, Arizona's all-time winningest head coach, he passed away at the age of 80 years old. And Coach Sumlin, I just got to ask you, when you first took on this job to be the head coach at Arizona, how was that first interaction between you and Coach Tomey?
Well, it's really interesting. I hadn't left College Station yet, and the phone rang, and he actually had given me a call, and we talked for a long time. He was in Hawaii and working on an All-Star game at that time, and so we talked for quite a while, and then as soon as he got back to the States, we had an opportunity to visit, and anybody who's been to practice saw him around quite a bit, and just a great ambassador for the game, but also for the University of Arizona and for Arizona football, and really, and Tucson, and just really gave me a real education on what his vision was, the way things worked, and I can't tell you, and I've told him many times how appreciative I was of his relationship with me and our football program and our current team.
When you look back on when you first got into coaching, you know, when Arizona had that run in the 90s where they were one of the premier college football teams in the country, what was your just overall perception of the Arizona football program and specifically Coach Tomey?
Well, it was a nationwide recognized program, and I think, you know, he had brought it to that point with not just with the Desert Swarm, but with all points of the program, and you know, with me starting as a coach right there at the end of the 80s and beginning of the 90s at Washington State here in the as a Pac-10 at the time, right? So you know, you had a lot more visualization. You knew a lot more about it, but certainly nationwide the program was recognized, and you know, the things that he did, and really with a little different look on defense than people had seen, and created it was more to Desert Swarm and the scheme and the players that were here and how they played. You know, it was really a signature, and so because of that, as a coach, you know, he was a pioneer and certain schematic situations on defense, and that was recognized throughout the coaches community probably before it was recognized nationally by everybody else. But it was something to watch from afar, and to get to know him over the course of the next few years was a real pleasure for me and a real privilege.
Arizona football head coach Kevin Sumlin joins us right here on ESPN Tucson. Coach, when you mentioned that conversation that you had with Coach Tomey and when you first met him in person, was there any advice that he gave you when taking over the reins here at Arizona?
Of course there was. I mean, I don't think it's for public knowledge, but there's a lot of things that coaches share, you know, and I had known him before that. So, you know, it was a situation where, you know, I had known him before I'd come to Tucson. You know, I'd worked with Dino Babers at Texas A&M. We were both assistant coaches at that time after he had just left Arizona. So, you know, we had a lot of mutual friends, mutual coaches, and mutual encounters. You know, he was at Texas the 1 year in the Red River Rivalry when I was at Oklahoma. So for in 2004, I think it was. So, mm-hmm. you know, we crossed paths a lot of different times in a lot of different ways with a lot of different people, it was one of those situations where, you know, we had talked several times on the phone about a lot of different things before I even got here. So, you know, it was a comfortable conversation. It was a realistic conversation, and it's one that that I really, really appreciated, and one that continued throughout the whole last year.
And one thing that Coach Tomey did well here at the University of Arizona was he established that Polynesian pipeline. I don't know if that's something that he passed along to you, but when you look back at Coach Tomey and how he was able to recruit a lot of Polynesian players, is that something that you really adopt from him?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, we've, you know, that's one thing that we talked about. I can tell you that's one thing that he's felt very strongly about, and we have that relationship, and we want to reestablish that relationship. I think we've made some steps in that direction, and you know, with our staff and with the players that we have recruited. So yeah, I that is something that we discussed at length. I think it's easier said than done. Obviously, Coach Tomey's relationship with the community was big, and that trust factor, and we are and have begun building that back, and are working very, very diligently at reestablishing those relationships and in the Polynesian community, and I think those are paying off in recruiting and a number of guys that we've gotten to campus since we've been here, and was just a young man like Donovan Lay who started every game last year, so mm-hmm. As a true freshman at offensive tackle. So, you know, we definitely are aware of that. He felt very strongly about that, and I can tell you I feel the same way. Mm-hmm.
And you had Coach Tomey come out and talk to your players this past year. What do you remember about him talking to your guys? Because it seemed like they really love Coach Tomey. I could just look at the photo of Coach Tomey grabbing Khalil Tate by the cheek and giving him a hug. Can you just talk about that experience you had with Coach Tomey and your players?
Yeah, we had it was a couple of times, you know, and he didn't really want to do it a lot. You know, I asked him a couple of times, you know, he could come over. He was around a lot and watch and practice, and you know, that kind of eye that has seen a lot of football. It was very, very valuable to me. The discussions that we had afterwards in practice and what he thought, and you know, but also his relationship and his personal feeling and passion for Arizona football. I think that came through loud and clear when he spoke to the team, and you know, he gave very, very pointed reflections about times and different games and different things and different games that he had coached while he was here. And so those kind of examples of overcoming some things that maybe some people don't think about, but they're able to share with teams, some personal items, personal stories that with players who are overcoming injury, players who are overcoming things from their background, and just all kinds of things that he experienced while he was here. I think it drew him closer, and I know it drew our players closer to him. And like you said, in some of those pictures, they say 1,000 words because they know that what he said was from the heart. And whenever you have somebody who has spent that much time and effort and been successful in a situation, they're able to share their true feelings about a situation. You know, players feel that, and I think you can see that in some of those pictures.
Arizona football head coach Kevin Sumlin joins us right here on ESPN Tucson. Coach, you guys open up the season against Hawaii. Coach Tomey used to coach at Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of sudden right now, but is there anything planned? Are you guys working on anything to maybe honor Coach?
Yeah, we are. They haven't been finalized yet, but you know, when things have happened, it's fairly, you know, fairly new here right now. But we've had some discussions today just about what we want to do, and I think it's I think it would be great for both teams, because he spent so much time there and here, for both teams to be able to recognize him in the right way. And I would look for something like that to be announced here within the next couple of weeks.
Again, that's Arizona football head coach Kevin Sumlin joining the Sports Exchange on ESPN Tucson. And, Coach, I know we've already talked to some former players, but we would just like to send the Arizona football program our deepest condolences and our well wishes during this troubling time. And, Coach, thanks again for coming on the show and talking to us.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and I know that you know, it's a tough time for the family, and a little bit of a tough time in this building, but I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come on. It's a real pleasure and a privilege to be able to talk about a man and a coach that accomplished so much and did so much for this community and this program. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And a huge thanks to everyone here at Frog and Firkin for listening to Dom and I Babylon about Arizona sports. And special thanks to everybody who downloaded the Wildcaster app. Make sure you download it. It's free. It's on the App Store, Google Play. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. Make sure you download the Wildcaster app. And as always, subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.